Well, our sermon text for today is in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. I invite you to turn there with me, and if you would stand as we read from God's holy word. Once again, this is Luke 21, verses 25 through 36. And I read in the name of our Lord Jesus. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your holy word and that your word is truth. May we heed your word. May your Holy Spirit work in our hearts to lead us to repentance, that you would confront any unbelief that we are holding on to, Lord, that we might confess that to you and find forgiveness and hope in the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, when he comes on the clouds. And in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this text, we're going to see some language that's similar throughout all of this. It's language of sight, where you're going to see that it says, look, see, watch, over and over through this text. So that's actually what we're going to do for our outline today. It's going to be see and look and watch. See the signs, look at the fig tree, and watch yourselves. So first of all, see the signs. As we talked about with the kids in the kids' message, there are many troubles in our world. We see the planet in disarray. People are recognizing all of the crazy weather that is happening on our planet, and some of the scarier things, tornadoes and hurricanes that can take out huge areas of land and all the homes and people on them, cover entire islands. We think of volcanoes that risk the lives of everybody that lives near them. And even asteroids coming. I read an article recently about some asteroid they're thinking has a chance of hitting Earth, and they're preparing for ways that they can shoot at this thing and try to redirect it and all sorts of stuff as they just try to protect our planet. And our world is a scary place. And in the midst of this, it can feel terrifying and hopeless. We see here that it's described that there will be signs in sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. And even now, as we think too about how the nations are raging against one another, there's wars and rumors of wars, to think of another scripture, and our world is a scary place, one full of trouble that could cause you fear and perplexity and distress, even maybe cause you to faint. So what do we do in the midst of all of this trouble in our world? You know, there's been different responses to this. Some people just give up. They just have a sense of hopelessness. They don't see any point to all of this, and they think, surely God has abandoned us or never existed in the first place. A hopeless response. Some people take Scripture and they take this and they try to plan out the end. They try to schedule it. I think he's coming on this date. And yet, really, in Scripture, that's not ever been the point. We see that with all of these signs, because they are meant to point at something, but with all of these signs, they're not meant to point at a specific time that we can know and that the end will come. And so don't bother actually trying to schedule this and put it on your calendar. That will only actually cause you problems, troubles. Think about how lazy you would become in the meantime if you knew that you had some extra time before it came. And by the way, everybody who's ever predicted it has been wrong and made a fool of themselves. And so don't see this as something where you need to try to schedule it or even try to predict when it will come. But in the midst of all of these things, there is a message for us. And we need to see the signs. You know, this is actually something that people have experienced in a lot of different ways through time, but in a very specific way in the time of Jesus. You see, if we were to look back earlier in this chapter, we would see Jesus telling about the destruction of the temple that would happen shortly. And as he's talking to his disciples, he's talking about this horrible situation where there will not be one stone left on another in this temple. And they may have even been looking at this temple in Jerusalem thinking, man, this place is amazing. I mean, the sun might have been glinting off the impressive roof of this temple covered in precious jewels and gold and everything that they could invest in this temple and to be impressive and beautiful. But also this city of Jerusalem with, 5 miles of big walls around it. And actually, in the temple itself, the some of the stones were 7 feet tall. Imagine that. And here's the really impressive thing, 60 feet long. Can you imagine what it took to move a 60-foot stone that's 7 feet tall? And Jesus said that not one of those stones would be left on another. He was giving them a warning, and actually, in 70 AD, so not long after Jesus said this, still within that generation, just as he predicted, the Romans came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and particularly the temple. And not one stone was left on another. They dismantled the whole thing, just as Jesus said. And he had warned them. He had told them about how horrible this was. He said, if there's anybody that's out in the countryside, tell them to go hide in the hills. If there's anybody in the city, tell them to get out because destruction is coming. Times are going to be horrible here. And actually, this is exactly what ended up happening. When they came in to destroy Jerusalem, the Jewish historian Josephus reports that 1,100,000 were killed in Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? Over 1 million people killed in the city, and another 97,000 were dragged off as a part of a parade that would go to Rome to show their victory. It was a horrible situation for this city. In fact, he also reports that as they were being attacked and in the midst of this devastation, that people were starving. And one woman actually slew her own infant and roasted it and ate it. It was so horrible. And Jesus had warned them about these things because he wanted them to escape. He wanted them to be prepared for the trouble that was coming and to be delivered from this. He didn't want any of this to be happening. But you see, this was coming upon Jerusalem because of their unbelief. They had rejected Jesus. They had rejected the Lord and his truth, his promised Messiah. They had chosen their own way. And even at that time, the temple, the building still stood, right? The temple that the Lord had said to build, but the Spirit of the Lord had departed from that temple because of the unbelief there. They had deserted God in their hearts. And so even though it was outwardly beautiful, it was going to be coming down, coming to an end. And there is no city on earth that is safe from all of the trouble that will come upon this world, just as it did in Jerusalem. But just as this was a warning for those people in those days to escape the city and to go and hide, to be prepared for the coming trouble, so this text is a warning for us that we would be prepared, that we would recognize Jesus' warnings, that trouble is coming on our world and to be ready for it. But just as he warned them and wanted them to escape, and many did escape and were delivered from that trouble, so also there is salvation, redemption provided for us through this prophecy of Christ. You see that it says in verse 27 that in the midst of all of these troubles, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Again, for those who have disbelieved, who reject Jesus, this is going to be a terrifying day, because right after he comes is judgment and the destruction of this broken world and the casting of all unbelievers into eternal punishment. But also, for those of us who hear this warning, who heed this warning and recognize that God cares for us and wants us to escape this trouble and this judgment, we are to hear this good news. We're to straighten up and raise our heads to look up and see that our redemption is drawing near. We're to look up and see that God has provided Jesus, the Son, this same one who will come on the clouds with power and great glory, is the one who came as a little child and served us and laid down his life as a ransom for us, and who died for our sins that we might be set free, so that when that day comes, we would not have to fear and faint and lose heart, or to receive the judgment and punishment that is coming, but that we will be saved, we will be delivered from this. So in the midst of this, we are to look up and see the deliverance, to heed this warning. Next, he tells us to continue to look. This time, look at the fig tree. He gives us a parable, an example. It tells us to look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. And so when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. This is an interesting picture for us, especially interesting in the midst of this previous paragraph that was pretty terrifying if you dwell on it and think on those things. You see, this picture of the fig tree is actually a pretty tender one and an encouraging one. Actually, in the other Gospels, it talks about this tender tree, these tender growths. And you think about little tender buds growing on a tree and these delicate leaves coming out, right? This is a beautiful picture of spring, right? And as we see this tree coming to life and growth, we see that this is a sign that summer is near, right? A good time of warmth and comfort. And maybe as you felt the cold breeze recently, you're already counting down the days to summer. I've already heard one person in particular that has the countdown of days going. Winter's not even officially here, right? But already looking forward to it being over. And so summer is a beautiful gospel picture for us. And interesting here then that as we think about what are the buds, what are these new leaves coming out, these are actually the stars and the and and the bodies in the sky and the earth all being in turmoil, this place being shaken, and wars and people being in fear all around us. These troubles that everybody else sees as just signs that everything is coming unraveled and there's only doom and gloom, those are the buds of life, and they are meant to actually be signs that the end is coming, that there is hope after this. And so those of us who believe these warnings of Jesus and look to the hope that he provides, these are actually signs that can encourage us. It may seem impossible, it may seem strange that as you're in the midst of trials in your life, that you can actually say, Lord, this shows me that you're coming again, that there's hope for after this. Summer is coming. There's life after all of this trouble. And so, again, look to the Lord's deliverance. And he gives another promise here. He says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. And this may be a little bit confusing here. Do you want to stop for a moment and look at this? You see, when he just talked about both the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, which happened in 70 AD, right, and happened in that generation, as in that one lifetime, right? He died in 33, and in 70 AD, it was destroyed. But also, he's talking about things for the last day, when he comes on the clouds. And so, this may actually confuse you. You'd say, well, did some of it happen? Did all of it happen? Did none of it happen? But really, these things happened as far as the specific things about that day and that generation. Yes, they did happen. The temple was destroyed as he predicted. But also, some of these other things have not happened yet, but will happen. And the reason that this may be confusing is because we don't always understand how biblical prophecy works. And so to give you a little illustration of this, a lot of times these events are taken as one event, and they are certainly related, right? The destruction of the temple and all the work that was happening back in those days and the events in the future, all of them are connected as one event, as the last days, as God brings all things to completion. And so they are a unit. And so he can speak of them all as happening, but they're also kind of like a mountain range. And you know how when you look at a mountain range, you see different mountain peaks, and one is behind the other, right? But it's sometimes hard to tell how far behind that other one is. And as the prophets, including Jesus, would speak about these prophecies, he would talk about them as a unit, and so like a mountain range. But there might be a gap between some of those mountain peaks. And so in this case, too, one of them already took place, the destruction of that temple, but also there are other events that are still taking place. So we're kind of in the midst of this mountain range. We're maybe in a valley looking at the next peak, and we don't really know how far apart each of these mountain peaks is. And so we are just left to trust the Lord, the Father, who knows when he will send Jesus back. He knows the timing, and we're not to be worried about the exact timing of it. But to know that all of this is coming, that all of it is true. And so lastly, we look at this warning to watch ourselves. It says, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. So we are to watch ourselves. See, he doesn't want us to be weighed down. And actually, another way of saying this is depressed. Have any of you ever felt depressed looking at the situation in our world, the troubles of your life? It can be easy to be weighed down with these things. And also, lest we are weighed down with drunkenness and dissipation. You know, drunkenness has a number of problems with it. We know that it can kill brain cells. It can hurt your liver, affect your body in all these different ways, right? It also inhibits your decision making, and you do foolish things, and you would tend to get into trouble when you're drunk, do foolish and sinful things that hurt yourself and other people. But part of this too, as we think about it, is that we are not on alert when we're drunk, right? It's a numbing thing, a way to maybe escape for people where they are no longer alert, no longer thinking clearly. And that's the picture here too, is that even physical drunkenness has spiritual consequences, as we are not spiritually alert when we're giving into these things. And dissipation is, we could say, as one commentary says, a life of wasteful self-indulgence. We can give ourselves into the pleasures of this life, or maybe even try to drown our sorrows in one thing or another. I think of even how maybe screen time, or whether it's a video games or TV or whatever it is that you might give yourself into and allow that to distract you, to deaden your alertness spiritually to the coming of the Lord. And as we think about also the cares of this life, I want to share an illustration here. And this is a story here that someone else shared. It says, a man once visited a well-known clergyman, but he was astonished to see that his home was only a simple room filled with books. The only furniture was a table and a bench. Where is your furniture? Asked the tourist in amazement. Where is yours? Replied the clergyman. He said, mine, but I'm only a visitor here. So am I, came the response. Isn't that interesting? This man that realized that his life wasn't made up of the accumulation of things or passing the time or pleasing himself in this life, but that he was only a visitor here. You know, I got to admit that I tend to collect things, partially because I'm sentimental, but also because I like a lot of different stuff. And I just feel myself sometimes overwhelmed with the clutter and also being distracted by so many things in my life. There's so many things that we could focus on. And you know what? When we step back from it and look at it, I think that if we're honest, we recognize that much of this distracts us. Maybe we're trying to hide away our troubles, our frustrations, our depression, our anxiety, our fears, as we try to self-medicate ourselves with whatever thing in our life, getting weighed down with the cares of this life. We got to remember that we are travelers. We got to be looking for the coming of the Son of Man. And it says here then these final instructions that we are to stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Stay awake, brothers and sisters, and pray. And in praying here, it says that we can stand before the Son of Man. You see, the one who prays and puts their trust in the Lord is also trusting in His deliverance that He provided through Jesus. And the reason that we can stand before the Son of Man when He comes is because of what the Son of Man has done for us. As we pray and trust in Him and rest in the righteousness of Christ, we can hope to stand on that last day. So I want to tell you, as you look at the troubles of your life and all that might weigh you down, to remember that your redemption is drawing near. The time is coming soon. Stay awake and pray and trust in the righteousness that Christ has provided for you through His sacrificial death for you, through His trading your unrighteousness for His righteousness, that you may be ready for Him when He comes, and you may stand before Him on that day. Look up. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for this good word for us. And it's a bit scary as we are forced to think about the troubles of this world and our fears. But But Lord, I pray that we would see that you have provided for us, that you have given Jesus for our redemption, our salvation, and that your words will never fade away, even though this world will fade away. Your promises to us will stand forever. And what Jesus has given to us will always be good for eternity. So let us cling to that and help us, Lord, each day to trust in you, to be people of prayer, to not get caught up in things of this life, but to realize we're travelers waiting for you to come and pick us up and bring us home. In Jesus' name, we pray.